Trick or treat. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out blueapron.com/realghost. Get yourself your first three meals absolutely free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/realghost. It's kind of like grown-up trick-or-treating. It really is.
And it's like, what's in the box?
It's
awesome.
It's better than those peanut butter kisses that tasted like wax. Trust me.
Yeah.
100 times better. Check it out, blueapron.com/realghost.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Oh, that indeed it is, and happy Halloween 2016, everyone. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a friendly sleepover turns horrific once the lights go out. Little boy's bedwetting may be caused by something that scares him at night. And Oscar, he wrote in a story and shares the memories of his first apartment and a special spirit there. Those stories and more today on Halloween 2016 version of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Are you ready to be a little spooked out? Scared?
Yeah.
It takes a lot now, doesn't it?
It really does.
The bar just keeps getting higher and higher, mm-hmm. and then you hear ghost stories every day. I still get creeped out every once in a while. I just don't share it. Like the second headline. It's a little bit of wedding that happens, but I don't share it.
Do you really still get creeped out sometimes?
There's times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't wet myself like I did the first year of the show, but I still do get a little creeped out.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because
I don't know what.
I'm not going to jump in.
Did I say something?
No, not at all.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you're just joining us, this is a show that we do year round. So it's not just today. Every single week we put out episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. And you can check it out at realghoststoriesonline.com or at ghostpodcast.com. That's where our premium episodes land. And you can be freaked out all year long. So welcome if you are just joining us. We hope you continue to join us well into the new year, because it will continue. There will be a show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Halloween's done, it continues on all year. So let's go to our first letter that came into us today on our Halloween edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. Brittany says, hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Brittany. I'm 27 years old, and ever since I was around 12, I've had my share of experiences with the paranormal, many more than a normal person, I would believe, leaving me with plenty of stories to tell. A few short mentions from random sightings, but mainly I have three long stories to share. Let me start off by saying I have fallen in love with your show. I found you on Spotify about a month ago and cannot pull away. Not that I'd want to. I've yet to become an EPP, but I assure you, I plan on it. It's great what you do, really. I find it fantastic that those of us who believe and have had experiences can have an outlet of sorts where they are too scared, or when they are too scared to tell others of fear, judgment, or seeming crazy to the non-believers. They can release their experience to an audience that does not judge them and feelings and feel saner, seeing as there's validation through other stories and experiences. We're not alone. We're not crazy. These things happen, and they've happened to others. It's comforting, not to mention the answers you two will try to give for the questions we all may have. Of questions as well that I'll include throughout my stories. Again, I have three stories I want to share. I normally start with the most terrifying because that one happened first in my life. I like to keep everyone in suspense for that one. It involves the house I grew up in that was plagued by a demon. This monster lurked and tried to harm our family in various ways, including possessing me, but was unable to do much harm due to a protective spirit also in the house. It's one of the more painful times in my life, but I cannot deny that's an amazing story, one that I'll save for last. Instead, I'd like to share the one where I have the most questions. We have a rumor in our family that the woman from my mother's side are gifted with psychic ability of some form. I don't know how true that is, and I have never dabbled in it. The rumor started about 24 years ago when my great-grandmother passed away from a sudden stroke. She was there and then gone so quickly. A few days after her passing, my mother visited my great-grandfather, and he had asked her something strange. "Have you spoken to your grandmother yet?" he asked her. Now, since this was well before he went senile, my mother was taken aback. "No," she said. "Poppy, she passed, remember?" He gave her a look as if he were insulted. "I know that, but you share her gift." She questioned him, and he further explained a gift of communicating with the dead. For a while after, he continued to ask her daily if she had communicated with her, and she assured him she had not. My mother shared this with me after my experience. My mind was blown, but I was still skeptical. I'm not sure if I believe in anything more than being a bit sensitive to the paranormal. Nothing like blatant psychics, but I have an open mind enough to know that anything is possible. Other than a few random happenings, nothing major has truly convinced me. I was once told that people with innate psychic ability and cannot tap into it have migraines. Therein lies my first question. Is that true? Jenny, is that true for the big money?
For the big money?
You get a Reese's peanut butter cup if you answer it correctly.
Okay. Say it again.
All right. People with innate psychic abilities and cannot tap into it have migraines. Answered in the form of a question.
What is, I have no idea. Because I don't. I mean, I could see something like that occurring,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think I've heard very rarely mm-hmm. on the show as being a thought. Mm-hmm. But again, there really is no true answer to that question.
No. I mean, and that could be the case for one family and not another, and mm-hmm. they might have the same abilities.
Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, you're right. It really depends on the situation, and I don't think there is a foolproof answer to that.
No.
So, sorry. That's from?
No.
That was my bad impression of The Price is Right.
Okay.
Yeah, when you lose the...
Oh, I kind of get it.
So there you
yeah.
go. Continuing on. Whether or not it's true, I, my mother, and my grandmother all have severe migraines. Well, my great-grandmother did not. She was often predicting things before they happened, such as the gender of a baby before it was announced or even before the woman knew she was pregnant. My migraine started when I was 12, around the same time paranormal things began for me. Bit more about it, I often know small little things before they happen, like when the phone is going to ring and someone who is going to call, something like that, and the strangely accurate, detailed, and numerous deja vus that I have. However, nothing has ever hit me harder than the experience I had at a friend's house. For anonymity, or I can never say this word, did I say it correctly? Anonymity. There we go.
Anonymity.
I added an M where it shouldn't be. Anonymity. I would not use their names. It was around Christmas, and I was invited to sleep over at a friend's house. I was around 15 at the time. Altogether, there were four of us girls, my friend's brother and his cousin, and her mother and father. We all passed out in various places around the house. Myself and a few of the girls were on the living room floor, falling asleep during a movie. The boys were in the family room asleep while playing video games. My friend's mother and their Great Dane were asleep in the master bedroom. Lastly, her father had fallen asleep on the couch with his knees on the floor and his face planted in the seat of the couch. Honestly, it was hilarious, but when I had noticed, or what I had noticed, I was too afraid to laugh. The Christmas tree was still lit and the movie was still playing. It was around 2:30. This is the scene I'd woken up to. I was sweating and panting, gasping from the images of a nightmare I just had. It was vivid, detailed, and morbid. In this dream, there were two men. They were standing in the living room of the same house I was in, except the decor was different, and the house seemed a bit newer. I recognized most of the layout immediately, and I got a chill when I realized I was sleeping in the exact spot they were standing in the dream. The two men began arguing, and soon after began physically fighting. I could not understand what they were saying. It was like cotton was in my ears. It was garbled and muffled. The fight became more intense, and they crashed through the house. One man managed to get away from the other and run into the master bedroom. He was followed and killed after more fighting that landed them in the master bathroom. The killer did not stop beating his victim until the bathroom was covered in blood drops and splatters, and I felt sick. And worse, I had to use the bathroom. Unfortunately, the second bathroom's toilet was busted. A chill ran down my spine, knowing that I had to enter the dark master bedroom. I tiptoed down the hall and pushed the door open gently so not to wake the dog or the mother. As I peered in, the bathroom light was already on and I was shivered again. What was strange about this dream is that I had never been in this part of the house during other visits yet. I'd never seen the master bedroom or bathroom. Not until that dream, apparently, because everything was the same. It was dim, but I could still make up the shape of the room, the position of the closet, the colors and style of the wallpaper. I'd seen this exact layout in my dreams. My mind was blown, but there was no way I would be able to hold it. I had to go. I felt nothing as I entered the room and quietly made my way to the bathroom. I did not feel a presence except for the mother and dog. I was calm despite the circumstance. I entered the bathroom and shut the door. There was no knob on the door, just an open hole. So I reached my hand through for added leverage and pulled until the uneven door jammed into the frame. I was nervous about peepers and pranksters in that house, as my friends and her brother loved to do so playfully. I sat down to use the bathroom while never taking my eyes off that hole in the door. I knew for whatever reason that someone was going to pull that door open. Figured at least I would see who was going to do it and be prepared. I don't know what told me it was going to happen, but I did not see it coming. As I stood up and flushed, still never taking my eyes away, instead reached blindly for the handle, the door suddenly swung open with ease as if a torrent of wind had blown it open. I screamed. It swung so hard it slammed against the opposing wall and nearly came off the hinges. Funny, there was no wind. But there was laughter. A grown man's laugh echoed in the bathroom, and then moved quickly from the room and down the hall, and then vanished. The voice was loud and grotesque, and I shivered. Couldn't tell if I was cold or just frightened. Honestly, I felt numb, and luckily, I'd already gone to the bathroom. Somehow I didn't pass out or have a heart attack. I don't know how I managed to walk from the bathroom back to the living room. I think I convinced myself that I was just one of the others in the room. I hadn't seen a hand reach through the hole to pull it open. It was the only way to do so since I jammed it so tight. As I walked, I felt heavy with dread, but I continued. Everyone, even the dog, was somehow still asleep. How did they not hear the slam, my scream, or the laugh? They were just tired, I thought. Really? Really that tired? That was it. Sometimes, even though you know otherwise, the only way to make it out of a situation as such is to think logically and rationally. Panic can come afterwards. And even if I did panic, what would I tell them? They were newer friends. We were still getting to know each other. They'd think I was crazy. I moved back to the living room, couldn't even laugh at the father being face first in the sofa after drinking that night. I stood back in the same spot and gazed around the room for the moment, still feeling my shoulders heavy with some unknown presence. There was nothing I could do except run out of the house looking like a lunatic. I was too embarrassed. Suddenly the TV cut to static, and where the volume was once low, it was now blasting as if it was turned to max. And yet the family did not wake. I was dreaming. That had to be it. It wasn't, but it had to be. I convinced myself of that as I grabbed the remote and muted the TV. I dare not turn it off. I did not want to be in the dark with only the dim lights from the Christmas tree. I laid back down in my spot on the floor and curled under the blankets for about an hour, pretended to be asleep while internally panicking. Curled against the back of one of my friends, I somehow fell back to sleep. I know what you're wondering, and no, I've never looked into the history of that house. At the time, I was too afraid of knowing what I already knew, and I don't even remember the address of the house, only the city. I dare not ask them for it, as I have never truly explained in detail what happened that night at that house. The next morning, I had only asked about spooky things in the house, or bathroom more specifically. They told me strange things happen in the bathroom, such as being watched or even sometimes grabbed in the shower. Sometimes they hear the voice of a strange male without giving away much that had happened. I thanked them sarcastically for inviting a friend into a haunted home without warning them. They laughed. I didn't find it funny. I still find it fascinating that I saw those two rooms with my mind before my eyes, and terrifying that I walked through a dark house where I watched a man be murdered. I wonder if that happened, or if there's a spirit just trying to scare me. I don't know the truth. I never slept there again. Thank you for reading my story. I apologize that it was so long. I'll write back in to share the rest soon. Thank you again for the show.
I would not at all be surprised if that's exactly what happened there, especially since she's not the only one that has weird experiences in the bathroom and then hearing that laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Something's messing with her.
Being able to know all those things,
mm-hmm.
and feel them so vividly,
yeah,
if you will, as if you were actually experiencing them. I really would be curious to know, you know, what more happened. And she kind of answered the question, no, I don't know the history of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You should go ask.
Well, but the thing is, the family that lived there that she was friends mm-hmm. with, they might not even know. This might
That's
have been
true.
Long before they even came along, depending on how old the house is.
I wonder when you search for records these days. Obviously, you know, since there's been internet and you know, internet newspapers and mm-hmm. stuff, you know, you can Google things and it will come up. But that's not always the case for news stories that were published so far back. Although I have seen some microfilm be turned into searchable.
I have too.
It's not, I don't think it's super common.
Mm-hmm.
But I know every once in a while, if I search something that's fairly old, it'll find like a microfilm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a fairly big story though, I think. And microfilm, by the way, that's how we used to go look at old newspapers at the library.
Mm-hmm.
You had to pull on the screen. Number one, know what you're looking for. Or if you didn't know what you're looking for, have an idea on the date range and then search through newspapers.
Yeah.
For hours and hours and hours. But I wonder if she would just, if she could figure out the address. I'd imagine by some process of elimination, she could get the address.
Mm-hmm.
Narrow that down, do a search on that and see what you find.
Or even just the street name in the city.
Yeah, that might be able to narrow something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I found out about the apartment that I lived in, my first apartment when we were in Wichita, where I Googled that at mm-hmm. the time. Like, oh, look, someone was decapitated a couple of units over. That's special. Oh, they never found the head. So much for that answer of, no, nothing bad has ever happened here when I was checking in.
Oh, what were they going to say? Oh, yeah, we had a decapitation 2 months ago.
Yes.
They can't.
I asked blatantly. Has, you know, is there any crime in there or anything ever happened? No, we're very, I would think that would qualify.
Well, you could have done a Google search before you signed on the dotted line, too.
I think it's before Google. I think I actually Yahooed it, because I don't think Google was actually quite up
yeah.
there. So that,
you could have still found out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Hey, you know, trick-or-treating, I loved it. I trick-or-treated far too late in life. You know, then it was socially acceptable. In fact, I still kind of trick or treat when I take the girls. Like, you know, I'll hold the bag out there sometimes and then eat the candy and they're not looking.
You kind of rob them of that experience when you hold the bag and you say trick or treat and then you eat the candy.
Well, now Harper wasn't old enough to do it for a long time. Now she can do it, but
now she's old enough to say, this is bullshit.
She will too. And she'll chuck a Snickers at my
head. Does that. Says that.
As an adult, what was kind of like trick-or-treating for me is when the Blue Apron box shows up
mm-hmm.
at the front door. And I'm not kidding. Blue Apron now is supporting Real Ghost Stories Online, so please support them. They really have good stuff. We've been using them far before they were ever supporting our show. So I can legitimately say we really like their stuff.
Yeah.
They really have great products. But it's kind of what it's like, because the box shows up and you're just, I love cooking, and it's kind of exciting because you open it up and it's all, it's like fresh ingredients. Everything's pre-portioned and ready to go. I don't have to, you know, mess around with a lot of stuff. I don't have to waste a lot of stuff. It's just there and ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cook and it's all laid out for you, how you cook it, step by step. Turn the oven on here. Get your water boiling because you're going to need it 5 steps later. There's no guessing. It's
right.
Not like, oh, shoot, I should have had water going for that, you know, the pasta or what. It's like, no, it tells you, follow it. If you can follow basic instructions, you can cook an amazing meal with Blue Apron. And right now, when you go to blueapron.com/realghost, you'll get 3 meals free with free shipping. It's not one of those things where it's like, you pay for shipping. No, that's not how this works. 3 free meals. Just at least give it a try, because it's good stuff. So get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/realghost. Some of the stuff available in the coming month, in the month of November, pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables and butter caper sauce. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir fry with sweet potato noodles. There you go. If you're kind of not on the meat end of things. Lemongrass roasted pork with ramen seco cauliflower and coconut rice. That I'm kind of excited about that one.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really good. So anyway, great stuff. Go check it out for yourself. Pricing, it's under $10 a person if you decide after your first 3 meals that you love it, which you probably will. So you can feed your family really fairly affordably and get a great nutritious meal you're going to be happy with. So blueapron.com/realghost. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/realghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. It is. It's like Halloween for grown-ups with that stuff.
It really is.
So I do highly suggest checking that out. Sam writes in, hey, guys, last year, I wrote you about an experience I'd shared about my friend and a spirit she had following her everywhere. This time around, I have my very own experience and I wanted to tell you all about. So a couple years ago, my now wife, Yvonne, my stepson, Ethan, and I moved into a home in Forest Hill area of Newark, New Jersey. Forest Hill is known for its mansion-like homes and used to be an area where many celebrities once lived. We moved into this 7-bedroom home with my wife's brother and cousin and their significant others. Our little Ethan was only a child in this home of 6 adults. At first, this home was the epitome of any home I'd dreamt of living in. There was such beautiful character to it. Couldn't have been happier to all be there. And Yvonne and I at the time found it to be the perfect living situation while we were in the midst of planning our wedding. However, about a month in, things started to change, and most of the change was between her and I. We began drifting apart, arguing all the time, couldn't stand to be next to one another, and it got to the point where we had called off the wedding altogether. That was just the beginning of it. There were a number of incidents where any one of us in the house would see shadows cross a room at the corner of our eyes. There were a few times I can recall something went dashing up the stairs. At first, I thought it might have been my brother-in-law's cat, but I'd see this thing scurry up and notice that the cat would be in the same room as me. Gives me chills just thinking about it. Much of it went ignored until one day I woke up early and noticed something strange on the ceiling of our bedroom. Yvonne had gotten up shortly after and began telling me about a dream she had put, but stopped when she noticed I'd been concentrating on the ceiling. I asked her to hand me my glasses, which she'd set down on her nightstand the night before I'd fallen asleep with them on. The moment I put them on, I realized that I definitely was not seeing things. We'd already been in the house for a few months by that time, and not once did I ever wake up to something like this. But it was a face on our ceiling, and it was looking right down at the two of us. I asked Yvonne to look up and to tell me if she saw the same thing. She said no at first, but I had asked her to put on her glasses, and she, too, scooched just a little more towards me. Oh my God, she yelped. What is that? It's never been there before. Grabbed my phone to snap a picture of it. We ran downstairs to show everyone else, and they too were freaked out. We never saw it again after that day. The tension between Yvonne and I began to subside towards the end of that year, and we realized that it may have been because of whatever was in this house. Apart from the shadows, we were the only ones being affected by any of it emotionally. So with that in mind, we began planning our wedding again. Winter had approached, and we noticed that the house was very well heated, considering how big it was. All rooms were generally hot enough, where we would need to crack a window just to allow for some circulation of cooler air. Ethan had just turned 4 by this time and was gearing up for pre-K. Anyway, there were a few nights where he'd come knocking on our bedroom door in the middle of the night, crying because he'd wet the bed. Yvonne took care of his wet clothes and would clean him up while I changed out his linen. There was, however, one thing I noticed about his room. It was always cold in the middle of the night, which we'd officially put down as the reason for his bedwetting. We didn't know how to handle the situation because we had the heater checked. It was in perfect working order. We put him in warm pajamas every night and bundled him with blankets just to keep him warm. We'd even resorted to him sleeping in our room to see if there was a difference. In our room, he didn't wet the bed. However, in his room, even when he was sweating profusely from being bundled up, he'd still wet the bed. He'd slept with us for a while until Yvonne and I brought him a TV for Christmas. He found himself enjoying his room a little more and would often fall asleep while watching a movie. His room had warmed up a bit as well, so there was less bedwetting. Just after New Year, Ethan woke up in the middle of the night screaming and crying. Yvonne and I and her cousin, whose bedroom was also on the second floor with us, ran out to check on him. He was almost inconsolable. All he kept saying over and over again was, "I'm scared, I'm just scared." We tried to get him to tell us what scared him, but he wouldn't. So Yvonne rocked him back and forth, saying he only had a bad dream. She opted to sleep in the room with him and her cousin, and I retreated back to our own rooms. Next morning, I asked Ethan if he remembered anything from last night. He immediately went quiet and nodded yes. I could tell he didn't want to talk about it, so I let it go. His nightmares seemed to occur weekly, and the bedwetting started back up despite how warm it was in the room. On one occasion, Yvonne and I had gestured Ethan to go upstairs and get ready for bed. We'd meet him up there and tuck him in. He made it to the first landing of the stairs and turned back around. We looked at him. We could see he was upset. Pinching his lip, he said, "I don't want to go there by myself." And I asked him why. "What's wrong?" And he replied, "There's a lady up there." All of us rushed out of the kitchen to see what he was talking about, but of course, we saw nothing. However, his room was cold again. This time, even the men in the house had felt it. Yvonne and I took him into our room, put the TV on for him to watch until he fell asleep, and we monitored him periodically. These sort of events kept taking place and was becoming more apparent to everyone in the house, but it all seemed to focus on Ethan. Yvonne's cousin was looking after Ethan as well as her own 3-month-old. She put both boys in our bedroom while she took a moment to organize the baby's drawers and closet, as she still hadn't gone through everything he'd received between the baby shower and Christmas. She checked on them periodically. Ethan was quietly lying on the bed watching Mickey Mouse Club, and little Nicholas laid on the bed next to him. She picked up Nicholas to bring him back to her room for feeding. Shortly after, she heard Ethan saying, "Stop, stop, Nicholas, you're pulling my shirt." She walked over to the room and could still see Ethan shooting away something. She popped her head back in and asked, "Ethan, baby, what's wrong?" "Nicholas keeps pulling my shirt." "Ethan, I'm holding Nicholas." "Oh." And he quietly turned around and continued watching TV. Yvonne's cousin kept quiet about it, but made sure to let us know when we got home. She was a bit shaken by it, as we were, naturally. It wasn't long after that Yvonne, Ethan, and myself moved out of the house, as Yvonne and I had gotten married and found our own place. Since moving, we've experienced no tension between the two of us. Ethan no longer has nightmares or accidents in the night. The atmosphere around us was warm and lighter. We could truly feel the difference. We'd made a couple trips back to the house later that year to pop in and say hi to everyone. We'd learned from my sister-in-law that before the two previous owners, there was a pastor of some sort who occupied the home. He'd hold retreats in that house for his parishioners and used forms of prayer to release their inner demons, if you will. This was the closest we could get to an explanation of the strange occurrences within the house. I'm sure there's much more to the history of the home, but we've never been able to find anything. Needless to say, whatever it was, it made a connection with our little family. Not sure if it was because of our soon-to-be marriage or if it was because we had a little one, but we couldn't be more thrilled to be out of there and living our happily ever after?
I think sometimes it's a combination of having a kid in the house and stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stress of planning a wedding,
mm-hmm,
and having a little one who may be sensitive as an adult, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But just sometimes I think just having a kid, and not that you can do anything about it, but I think sometimes kids are just magnets for that stuff.
Sure. I mean, you have all of those factors playing in, and then you add the other stuff that goes on in the house, and it all just mm-hmm compiles into this one big ball of, you know, anxiety and stress, and then these things feed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what was very much going on there. It's funny because with haunted houses, sometimes the, you know, the emotional toll that it takes just by wearing people down, once the story's said and done, is often much more damaging than what the ghosts actually were doing,
mm-hmm,
or the experience of seeing the ghost or hearing it or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the wearing down is the powerful thing, and probably the ultimate goal of some of these things anyhow. So it's like, oh, mission accomplished.
This is one of the neat stories, though, where they actually saw something before mm-hmm the little one did.
I was waiting for it to go to, and then he told me he saw the face on the ceiling, too.
Yeah.
But obviously he had his own set of things that were going on for him. So thank you for sharing that story with us. We greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, if you'd like to ring along at home, we now have bunk bed bells.
Mm-hmm.
Bunk bed bells that you can ring along with at home. When you sign up to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com, you email me. You email bunkbedbell at realghoststoriesonline.com. Pretty easy one to remember. Long address, but easy.
Yeah.
You email me your username and when you signed up and where you'd like your bunk bed bell sent, and you will get a bunk bed bell for yourself. So sign up for a yearly EPP. It's for U.S. residents only, continental U.S. residents only, because shipping costs are insane. so sorry, we have to limit that. But if you're in that area, you can get a bunk bed bell when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership. If you're already an EPP, maybe a monthly EPP, well, then simply upgrade yourself to a yearly EPP. Cancel that monthly one, sign up for a year one. An email, you get a bunk bed bell, already a yearly EPP. When that renews, let me know, and you will get a bunk bed bell as well. But you do have to send in the email notice, so I know to send it to you.
Yeah.
So there is, you get the yearly EPP, then email bunkbedbell@realghoststoriesonline.com to get your bunk bed bell. They're fun. They even say bunk bed bell, just in case someone's wondering why you have a random bell on your desk that you ring while listening to podcasts. They pick it up and go, oh, bunk bed bell. Of course, that makes total sense. So there you go. All right. Our next story comes in from Oscar. Yes, that Oscar. And this is a new one, correct?
It is, and it's not from his book. He saved it just for us.
All right. It's like we need like sound effects like EPP or not EPP. Real Ghost Stories Online exclusive.
There you go.
You like that?
That was good enough. I don't think you need a button for it.
That's a really... I don't like that voice, guy. That's... I don't like that tone.
You don't like the...
Different one.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oscar writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Oscar from Dallas. With a ghost story for you. Everyone remembers their first apartment after college. I sure do. Not for the reason you think. My parents decided to let me stay in a two-story duplex they owned. It was a catch for me to stay there. I had to help renovate the apartment, so I agreed to work on the apartment while I lived there. The apartment was located on a busy street across Kid Spring Park in Oak Cliff. It was a perfect location for a single person because of the location, next to bars and restaurants. The apartment itself had two floors. First floor had the living room, kitchen, laundry room, and half restroom. Second floor had two bedrooms and a restroom. At the time, I lived by myself and wanted to focus on my new job as an IT consultant. First day I moved into the apartment, I meet the neighbors, a young couple with a small child. I introduce myself, explain who I was, and that I'd be staying next door. Male neighbor said in a snarky tone, "You're staying there? You're brave." I smiled and replied with, "Why? You don't know? That old woman died there," he replied. I quickly replied with, "Is that right? Well, that's good to know." Smiled, and I walked back into my apartment. The apartment had been empty for about 6 months after the last owner. The neighbor was right. My father purchased the duplex with the agreement of the previous owner to let his mother stay in the apartment. So my father agreed because the price for the duplex was too good to pass up. I moved in, set up my living space, my flat screen TV, and all my stuff. After several hours of cleaning and moving furniture, I was exhausted. It was late night and I decided to go to bed. I moved my queen next to the wall. I have more space. I felt the door open because I was too lazy to close it. I left the door open because I was too lazy to close it. Passed out quickly into a deep slumber. Usually I like to sleep towards the wall, away from the door. Around 3 a.m, I suddenly felt someone heavy sitting next to me. Plump, the bed squeaked as I rolled down towards... sat down. I hit something hard. Felt like a pillow full of something hard and cold, wearing ruffles like you find in a nightgown. I snapped into reality and realized I was by myself, so I jumped like a cat out of bed. Holy shit, I screamed, and still have been half asleep. I looked around expecting to see someone or something seating on my bed, but nothing. I opened the closet and nothing. Walked down the hall and nothing. I walked back into my room. Maybe I was just dreaming, I told myself. I slowly laid back down, but this time I closed the bedroom door. I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't. After tossing and turning, I eventually fell asleep, but was awakened again by the sounds of people laughing and singing downstairs. It sounded like people were having a party. I could hear them talking about gambling and drinking. I got up and walked slowly towards the door. I didn't want whomever was downstairs to hear me. Put my ear on the door to listen. Bam, bam, someone knocked on the door violently. I jumped backwards towards the bed. This is my house, and I'm trying to go to bed, I shouted towards the hallway. Just like that, the noise stopped. I didn't want to open the door because I didn't want to let whatever was outside in my room. So I went back to bed and waited until morning. That morning, I went downstairs to see if I had any damage, and everything was as I left it. I packed my suitcase because I was going to travel for business that day. After 2 days away, I returned home at night. Again, I closed the door. I bought a rosary and some other holy water just in case I needed it. I wasn't looking forward towards sleeping, but ultimately I fell asleep. But this time nothing happened. I woke up refreshed with a sense of relief. Maybe they got the message, I thought. So I jumped in the shower to get ready for work. I kept the door open because I wanted to listen to the music coming from my room. While in the shower, with my eyes closed, I felt someone touching my back gently like a woman would. I felt their hands slowly and softly run down my back. So I freaked out and dropped my soap and quickly turned around. I noticed a hand impression on the shower curtains. Shower curtains slowly moved back into its original position. I grabbed a towel and processed to myself what was going on. Just for a second, I noticed a woman wearing a gray dress walk quickly past the restroom door into my bedroom like a blur, but I caught a glimpse of gray hair trailing behind it. Naked and still wet, I walked into the room expecting to find an intruder, but no one was there. I stood in front of my bedroom. "Please leave me alone. I mean you no harm, so please respect my space," I talked to whatever was in my room. I did not receive a reply. I got dressed, went back to work. Night came, and I decided to leave the door open while I slept to confront whatever was in my apartment. I fell asleep looking towards the door so I could see the hallway. I made up my mind it was going to stop tonight because I will not be scared out of my apartment. I quickly fell into a deep sleep. Around 3 a.m, I felt a plump, like someone heavy, sitting on my bed. I kept my eyes closed. With fear in my voice, I told the entity, "You're welcome to sleep here if you want. Just don't bother me." I felt the sheets slowly move and something curled up next to me like a woman would. I forced my eyes closed because I felt like it was looking at me. I could feel its stir like a knife piercing my skin. I felt its breath on me. I could hear its wheeze while it struggled to breathe. It slowly breathed into my direction, and then a cough followed by a hee-hee. I wanted to turn away from it, but I was afraid of what it might do if I tried. I could hear its wheezing getting louder, and again, a hee-hee and a cough. Then a as it was struggling to catch its breath again. I felt its arm move slowly towards me. I was anticipating its touch on my skin. The expectation was killing me. It never came. Turned towards the wall, I thought to myself, but it was too late for that. I know its face was inches away from mine. I could feel its breath on my cheeks and mouth. I decided to man up and open my eyes. In a morbid way, I wanted to see what was lying next to me. I slowly opened my eyes, and to my surprise, there was no one on my bed. The smell of flowers quickly covered my whole room. I turned on the light, looked under the bed, in my closet, in the hallway, but nothing. I wasn't scared anymore. I went to bed and got under the sheets. "Good night," I whispered into the room. I quickly fell asleep. This time, a peace came over me. For the first time in a while, I was able to sleep through the night. My apartment felt great and had this energy about it. I'd still get nightly visits occasionally from my ghost roommate, but she never scared me again. I called her my ghost roommate, but I'm not sure who the spirit was. But I had a feeling it was a lost woman, maybe someone that didn't want to be alone. I only lived 2 years in my apartment before I moved to my current address. Tenants after me were not so lucky. Apparently, the entity did not care too much for a family moving in. The new tenants complained about doors slamming and someone walking up and down the stairs in the middle of the night. I still visit the old apartment from time to time with my father, but I haven't seen anything yet like I did when I lived there.
I think it's the old lady, and I think she's like reliving her coughing and hacking before she dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, I mean, it's more than a residual, but it's almost like she's still sick.
It's hard to tell. I mean, was there any true interaction there that couldn't also be written off as timing? As in, like, do this, do that? I know he said you can lay here, mm-hmm. but if it's a residual and it was already getting ready to lay there,
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think if there was...
To interaction to prove that it's more than a residual?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. And there may have been over time just the way it seemed like he was interacting with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's always a possibility with any ghost that you can say you can do this and it was going to do it anyway because mm-hmm. it was a residual and you think it's because, you know,
yeah,
because you told it to.
You'd really hope that in death you don't have breathing problems.
Yeah.
Or whatever problem you had. In life, that you're not stuck with whatever ailment you end up having towards the end if you get to be really old
mm-hmm.
and have something going on. You'd hope that that would, like, revert back or just not be there.
Right.
That's where, like, you almost hope that there's something like that, that it is just a residual thing and it's not truly the spirit of the person
mm-hmm.
going through that still. But it's very hard to tell. Be interesting. You have a whole... complex, a whole apartment building that you run, all haunted. And you can, that's how you rent it out. You actually make it, market it that way.
Two sets of tenants.
This one has, exactly. That's what you name the, that sounds lovely. And it's just called Two Sets.
Okay.
And you don't really explain it. Although that's how you market it. You market it as this is a haunted apartment complex, and this room has this, and this room has that. I wonder how you, I bet you if you, your odds of getting that would probably be, getting like a dilapidated apartment complex that's been used for not so great things in an abandoned state and rehabilitating it.
Uh-huh.
That's probably where you'd have your best odds of having a fairly haunted apartment complex.
And then you'd have people upset because you can't guarantee that anything's going to happen.
You know, well, exactly. Like, I really want a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than my apartment's haunted. Can I get on my lease? No.
See, there needs to be like a... like some kind of online exchange.
Yeah.
Like, I have a haunted apartment. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I want a haunted apartment. And then you find a way to, you know, I'll take over your lease or whatever.
Ghost switch?
Yeah, something like that. It's like eHarmony, eHaunted.
Well, I have a demon possessing mine. Well, I just have a cat. Well, I've always wanted a demon, and I've always wanted a cat. You switch apartments.
Mm-hmm.
It would work in a bigger city because there's enough apartments back and forth that you could... A group to do that with.
But it also doesn't take into account what the ghost wants. The ghost may not to interact.
It may move with the person.
Yeah.
No, it's the only time that someone would like have to like ask to get their deposit back because they weren't being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
That probably wouldn't work out. But hey, it was an idea. It was an idea. All right, that wraps up Halloween 2016. Real ghost stories from real people of real ghost stories online. Be sure to support the sponsor that's supporting us today, Blue Apron. Go and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/realghost and check that out. It really is like adult trick-or-treating, so you will thoroughly enjoy it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. And oh yeah, by the way, if you want more ghost stories, ghostpodcast.com. There's an EPP Halloween episode up there, freshly posted. So you want more of this? Ghostpodcast.com. Become an EPP and enjoy binging away on ghost stories all the days of the week. Happy Halloween, everyone.